Harris led the way into her cabin, wondering if civilians had any concept of shipboard courtesy. Would they know enough to stay on their side of the office? Serkin did. She stood across the desk as Harris called up the files on the desk display, looking young and earnest. She looked at the course Serkin had originally planned. Direct, reasonable flux levels, no abrupt course changes, adequate clearance of the mapped obstacles. It was close to the course she would have selected, although RSS ships could and did shave the clearance margins in the interest of speed.
And Captain Olin disapproved this course? Why?
He said it was too risky. Here.
Serkin laid her finger on the display, and it enlarged to show finer detail.
He claimed that coming this close to T-77 with a flux of 0.06 was suicidal. I asked him why, and he said he was captain and I'd learn better in time.
Harris leaned over the display.
Did you look up T-77 in the reference library?
Yes, ma'am.
Harris looked up at the younger woman, then remembered that it might be legitimate civilian usage. The RSS used sir for either sex. It meant respect, not recognition of one's chromosome type. Serkin seemed respectful and attentive.
Baird and Logan said that T-77 is a gravitational anomaly, nothing more. Ciro speculates that it's a burnt-out star. But all the references agree that it's not as dangerous as Gamma's Tangle, and it's perfectly safe to transit that at a flux of 0.2. I was being conservative.
Captain Olin must have had some reason. Your relative velocity would have been quite low there. Did you suggest boosting your flux and achieving a higher V?
No, ma'am. He said it was dangerous at 0.06. Boosting the flux would make it worse.
If he meant a flux-mass interaction, that's not the only danger out there.
Harris chewed her lip, thinking. She hadn't been in that area for a long time. She wished she had access to RSS charts and intelligence data. Serkin had flushed, which made her look even younger.
But why didn't he say so? I could have redone it for a higher flux.
He didn't want to go anywhere near T-77. Let's see what else he didn't want to go near.
She looked at the rest of Serkin's course, comparing it to Olin's, and called up references when needed. Slowly, she felt her way into Olin's logic.
He didn't want to go near any of the low-danger obstacles, did he? Made you go clear round Cumber's finger instead of taking that short wedding ring hop. And that's a safe hop everyone takes. Made you wander over here. And why?
She looked up, to meet the same confusion in Serkin's expression.
Did Lady Cecilia have a preferred arrival time? Did she ask him to be here on a certain day?
She had wanted to be here 8 days before we arrived for some kind of family party. Olin told her he couldn't make it. It's one reason she wanted a new captain. She said he was too slow.
Harris let her brows rise.
You heard her?
Well, I overheard it. I mean, Tawny over on the staff side, he told engineering and Mr. Gavin told me.
Staff side?
You know, there's the household staff with Bates on top, and there's the ship's crew with the captain, with you on top. We're not supposed to mix much, but at certain levels we have to. Our moles are always getting into rows with Milady's gardeners.
Harris felt she'd fallen into a farce of some kind. Gardeners aboard ship? But she couldn't let this young woman sense her confusion.
When we say staff, we mean non-line officers.
Oh.
Serkin clearly had no idea what that meant, and Harris let it pass. Far more important was getting this ship ready to travel. She could ask Serkin, but she should learn more about the rest of the crew, and inspections would do just that. She looked back at Olin's chosen route and shook her head.
I wonder. It's as if he knew something about these areas not listed in the references.
There were always rumors about robbers' coasts and pirate dens to excuse ships that were showing up late or missing cargo, but those were just rumors, weren't they? Olin had chosen to skirt more dangerous, according to the references, points more closely. He had shaved past T-89 inside the line she'd have taken with a cruiser. Of course, a cruiser masked more. Slow on the first leg of the trip, hanging about for a long time, then racing through the middle section, direct and sure, then dodging about again at the end. Smuggling came to mind, but she controlled her expression. Later, she could figure out what, and with whom Captain Olin had been smuggling.
And you're the newest crew member? What made you decide on this job rather than another?
Well, it was a friend of mine.
From the blush and tone of voice, a lover. Harris looked again. Blue eyes, brown hair, slender, unremarkable face. Just very young and very emotional. She kept her fingers crossed.
Aboard this ship?
No, ma'am. She's back at school. A third year in ship systems maintenance. If I'd signed with a corporate ship, they'd have expected me to stay with them forever.
Not really forever, Harris knew, but to the young, even the basic 5 and 10 year contracts sounded permanent.
When she graduates, she's not exactly the top of her class. We wanted to be together, same ship, or at least same company.
So this is a temporary, until she graduates?
Yes, ma'am, but I'm not treating it any less seriously.
I should hope not. When are you planning to leave, Lady Cecilia?
It depends, really. She'll graduate while we're at that fox hunting place. At Cerealis, I mean. Lady Cecilia expects to get back to the Cassian system about 6 local months after that, and she won't take off planet work until she hears from me.
You hope, Harris thought. She had seen more than one juvenile romance collapse when a partner was off planet for a year or more.
You'll have to keep your mind on your duties. It's natural to worry about her, but...
Oh, I don't worry about her. She can take care of herself. And I won't be distracted.
Harris nodded, hoping they hadn't sworn vows of exclusion or anything silly like that. Those were the ones who invariably got an earnest message cube at the next port, with the defaulting lover explaining what happened at excruciating length. In her experience, it always happened to the best of the younglings in her crew.
Good. Now, I plan to have the crew cross-train in other disciplines. Would you prefer another bridge assignment or something more hands-on?
Anything you wish, Captain. I had 2 semesters of drive theory and 1 of maintenance, but I also had a double minor in communications and computer theory.
Very bright girl, if she topped out in her nav classes and done that as well. Harris approved.
We'll try you in communications and the more practical side of shipboard computing systems, then. That should keep you busy enough.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all, then.
With a last respectful nod, Sirkin left. No salute. Harris refused to give in to the wave of nostalgia she felt. She shrugged it away physically and drew a deep, steady breath. No more salutes, no more old friends she could call on to find out, for example, what was known about the members of her new crew. She might have that later, as she made friends in the Captain's Guild, but not now. And at the moment, that was her most pressing need, knowledge. According to the ship's record, all the crew but one had been supplied by the same employment agency. A good one. She had chosen to sign with them herself because of their reputation. They supplied crew to major commercial lines and trading corporations. Lady Cecilia was part of an important family. Surely they were not sending her their dregs. Yet she had the feeling that at least half these people were below average. She hadn't expected that, not with the wages Lady Cecilia had offered her and was paying the crew. She should have gotten more for her money. Sirkin was the only really top qualifier, just going by their records, which she didn't. Records only told so much. She punched up the local office of Uzmerdans and worked her way up the levels until she found someone she could really talk to.
Captain Serrano, yes? We placed you with Lady Cecilia.
Yes. I noticed that Uzmerdans also placed other crew members, and I was wondering if you could give me some details.
All pertinent details should be in the ship files. Surely Captain Olin left the files open keyed.
I've accessed the ship files, but I find nothing equivalent to the Space Service's fitness reports. Are periodic evaluations handled by the captain aboard, or...
Oh, well... There's no established schedule, not really. In the commercial ships, of course, there's always some sort of corporate policy, but not on private yachts. Usually the captain keeps some sort of report. You found nothing?
Nothing. Just the data that might have been in the original applications. I thought perhaps you...
Oh, no. We don't keep track of that sort of thing at all.
After all, one could hardly recommend someone known to have problems on a previous vessel. Best not to know. Harris had known service people with the same attitude.
If there's nothing in the ship's files, then I'm afraid we can't help you. We could supply incomplete data on education, background, but nothing more than that. Sorry.
How do you choose whom to recommend to which employers?
How do we what?
I noticed that only Sirkin, the newest crew member, ranked particularly high in her class, and she's told me she was looking for a short-term job on a yacht for personal reasons. The others generally rank in the middle quartiles. Yet Lady Cecilia's paying top wages. I wondered why you weren't recommending these positions to your most qualified applicants.
Are you accusing us of sending Lady Cecilia unqualified crew members?
Not at all. But you aren't sending her your cream, are you?
We sent you.
Exactly. I know I'm not on the top of your list of captains, and I shouldn't be.
Well, that's true, I suppose. It's like this, Captain Serrano. There are good people, qualified people, who aren't right for every opening. You know what I mean. Surely you had people even in the RSS who were good, solid, dependable performers in ordinary circumstances, but you wouldn't want to have them in charge of a cruiser in battle.
That's true.
We supply crews to all sorts of people. We tend to hold out our best, our cream, as you said, for the positions where it matters most. It's true that Lady Cecilia is a valued client, and her family is important, but it's not like that yacht is the flagship of Garen Corporation, is it?
Not at all.
She's got a fine ship, relatively new, has it refitted at the right intervals, spares no expense in maintenance, travels safe routes at reasonable speeds. She doesn't need someone who can cope with a 20,000-passenger colonial transport or maneuvering in a convoy of freighters. Other people do. And her requirements dovetail nicely. We suggest for private yachts crew who are stable emotionally, perhaps a little sedate, obedient, willing to adapt to a variable schedule.
I see.
Harris did see. She did not like what it said about the agency's attitude toward her or toward her employer. She was sure Lady Cecilia had never been told that her safety was less important than that of a load of frozen embryos or bulk chemicals. She had trusted the agency, and the agency had sent her junk. It had not occurred to Harris before that very rich people could have junk foisted off on them so easily.
Thank you, anyway. I realize things are different in civilian life. I'll just have to adjust.
I'm sure you'll do very well.
Harris knew she would adjust, though not the way the agency intended. She would pull this crew up to some decent standard. She would exceed the agency's low expectations and make of Lady Cecilia's yacht a ship any captain could take pride in, even working with the slack crew she'd been given. She knew Lady Cecilia wanted as speedy a departure as possible, but the delay her nephew caused gave Harris just enough time to interview each member of her crew. Those short 5-minute meetings confirmed her original feeling that most of the crew were past whatever prime they'd had. At least the ship was good. A sound hull, components purchased from all the right places, regular maintenance at the best refitting docks. Like the crew, her instincts muttered. Harris blinked at the screen on her desk, fighting off worry. Surely Lady Cecilia hadn't been cheated on everything. Departure. Their slot in the schedule came late in the third shift. Lady Cecilia had already sent word that she preferred to sleep through undockings. Harris could understand that. She did, too, on ships she didn't captain. By this time, the ship's own systems were all up and running. By law, a ship must test its own systems for 6 hours prior to a launch.